Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned a little bit ago, we are looking at Hebrews chapter 11 as part of the message today. Just wanted to highlight these words. By faith, Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. I'm sure you've seen them, the really good optical illusions. Some of them aren't so great, but many of them are, where even just a slight shift in your perspective can reveal something completely different. I think it's sometimes funny that how you see it one way, and then somebody helps you to see it the other way, and then you can't see it the original way that you saw it before. It's a sort of struggle back and forth, trying to figure out which one is reality and which one is, well, I guess an alternate reality. As we look at this section from the book of Hebrews today, and we look at Moses, it's easy to see Moses and his situation from an earthly perspective. And I think a lot of people, not knowing the big picture, would say, come on, Moses, you got to see it this way. But Moses saw it another way, a heavenly way. And as we talk about that today, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear Christian friends, reality. Sometimes it's just downright difficult, isn't it? It can be harsh, it can be hard, it can be difficult. Reality is something that oftentimes we would just rather not deal with. If we could just put reality in a box and put it up on the shelf and then kind of go on with life, then we wouldn't have to deal with all the hard things that are going on. We wouldn't have to try to find solutions. We wouldn't have to fix it. It's interesting to note that the cinema movies always seem to do better in economic downturns. And you'd think, well, people don't have money to spend on it, but what happens is people are finding that they need to escape reality. And so they're willing to pay the money to be able to escape, to go see movies and step out of reality for a little bit so they don't have to deal with it. Well, as we talk about a reality today, if you had a, I guess I'll call it a wackier reality than Moses. Just to recap a bit, consider that Moses' life should have come to an end shortly after birth. As you may recall, in Egypt at that time, the Egyptians had enslaved the Hebrews. And because the Hebrew slaves seemed to be growing and getting stronger, the Egyptians were concerned that they were going to take over, rebel against them. So they ordered that all the baby boys born to the Hebrews should be thrown into the Nile River. Well, Moses' parents, being believers in the Lord, having respect for life, and recognizing in Moses something special, we're told, they put Moses in a basket and set him in the reeds along the river, hoping that someone would find him and welcome him into their home. And it happened. Not only did somebody come along, but it was the daughter of Pharaoh, one of the most illustrious personages in land. And she had pity on Moses, recognizing him as one of the Hebrew babies, and she welcomed him into her home. Moses grew up there in that lap of luxury. And this wasn't just like a really nice place to grow up. Understand that Egypt at that time was the most powerful land on the face of the earth. And if there was any place of decadence and opulence, it would have been in Egypt, and more specifically in Pharaoh's palace. And that's where Moses grows up. Problem was that Moses was mindful of who he was. He knew that he was a Hebrew. He knew that his glory was not in the palaces of Egypt, but in a promised land of Canaan, and more importantly, a promised land of eternal life. And so, we're told that Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. most people would have asked if Moses was somehow lost his grip on reality. I mean, come on, Moses. Look what you're giving up here, guy. Things could be a whole lot better. Instead, now you're slaving away. You're being harshly mistreated. There's no opulence. There's no decadence. There's hardly any food. There's not even straw ready for you for the bricks, if you remember that part of the story. And so you think, okay, Moses, you're nuts. You've lost it. And it would be right to say that Moses had lost his view of earthly reality, but he was seeing something else. He was looking ahead to his reward. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And so, with these eyes of faith, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated, giving up the treasures of Egypt. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. And I could say amen right there. Inspirational, right? What an encouragement for us to live our lives of faith with our eyes firmly fixed on heaven. But if I were to stop there, we'd miss some pretty important aspects to the life of Moses and how God helped him to truly see what he wanted Moses to see and to truly be the man that God wanted him to be. Because you see, Moses didn't always see so clearly through eyes of faith. So he left all of the opulence and decadence of Egypt behind. He went and lived with his people, the Hebrews, as a slave. The problem was, though, is that Moses had an anger issue. And in fact, the longer he was mistreated and the more he was with his people, the more angry Moses became, until one day he saw an Egyptian slave master beating on one of his fellow Hebrews, and in a fit of rage, he attacked the Egyptian and killed him. Now Moses, who could see things, as we're told, through eyes of faith that weren't there, he persevered because of him who was invisible, he actually thought that nobody saw what happened. He thought no one could see the results of that, and so he buried the Egyptian in the sand and went on, thinking, I'm good. But then it came back to him. People had seen. People started to doubt who he was, and it became clear that everybody knew that Moses had murdered that Egyptian slave master, and Moses started to have some doubts. In fact, so many doubts that he ran for his life. At the age of 40, he headed off to the land of Midian, and it took a burning bush another 40 years later to finally help him refocus, to get his eyes looking where God wanted them to look. So I ask you today, as we consider Moses, what clouds your eyes of faith? So often as we look at life, it's hard to see beyond the harsh reality that's in front of us. The heartaches and hardships and the difficult times that seem to pile up and stack up in front of us. I often use the image of having our noses right up against a brick wall. And we can't see out to the sides or up. All we see is this brick wall in front of us, not realizing that God has an opening just to our right or just to our left to help us get through it. We concentrate so much on that harsh reality that we can't step back and see the alternate reality, the true reality that God has in store for us. We see deteriorating relationships and dissatisfaction with the world and disappointment in the people around us, especially when it's among fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. And like Moses, at those times, that harsh reality of sin and its consequences and the choice is easy. We choose to see the reality and not him who is invisible. Thing is, we can't really run away to Midian, can we? There is no place we can go to hide for 40 years and hope that we can just sort of get away from it. We can't escape the harsh reality that sin brings, because it brings with it the body, despair of the heart, eternal destruction of the soul. That's the reality. But here's the thing. When it comes to sinners like you and me, God's kind of lost his grip on reality too. Our earthly, sinful reality. Because, see, if God saw our earthly, sinful reality, our best hope would be that God would wipe us out and as quickly as possible because of what we have done and what we deserve. But that's not the reality that God sees. Instead, he nailed his own son to a cross for you and me, for all the world to see. His innocent eyes never wavering to temptation. His innocent eyes never losing focus on that work of redemption. His innocent eyes dimmed in death. Can you see beyond the critics and beyond the skeptics and beyond the agnostics in this world who would have you see a good man in Jesus and nothing more? Can you see beyond even your own excuses? Can you see beyond your own guilt? Can you see beyond the lifeless body of Jesus to the empty tomb and the loving gaze that he turns toward you now, inviting you to come to him, all who are weary and burdened, and find in him rest and peace now and forever? It's true that even a blind squirrel can find a nut once in a while, but you and I can't. We are blind by nature. God knows how blind we are. He knows that we cannot see beyond ourselves and our own sinful nature. He knows that we, as Luther explained it, cannot, by our own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. But he has a solution. The Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel, enlightened us with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps us in the one true faith, the same faith that gave Moses the power to choose to serve the Lord, the same faith, the same confidence of the heart that sees beyond the harsh realities of this world to the eternal reward that is to come, the one that bores through whatever reality is piled up in front of us to be able to see that hope, that sure and certain hope that God has in store. It's the same faith that brings us to the Lord's table for assurance and renewal. It's the same faith that fills you with confidence that God has and will continue to bless with faithfulness regardless of what reality has placed in your line of sight. And the thing is, there's no fine print on that eye chart that God expects you to be able to read. No special lenses that you have to buy. There's no surgical knife that you have to undergo to cut back the buildup. Only the crystal clear sight of faith that is a gift from God, and it is yours in Christ Jesus. The strength to, as Joshua did, choose this day whom you will serve. The confidence to say with the disciples, as Peter did in our gospel reading for today, you have the words of eternal life. The focus, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. All of it, ours through Jesus Christ. So that you and I can fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on him who is invisible. For what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen, now that's eternal. You know, Moses was a changed man after he fled. When he headed off to Midian trying to escape his crimes, what followed him was guilt, remorse, and he lost sight of his shield and his great reward. But the Lord called to Moses, that flaming glory of the Lord in the burning bush, raising Moses from the ashes of his life to see the role that God had in store for him, to lead his people out of bondage and lead them to the promised land of Canaan. By faith, he refused to see only this earthly reality. By faith, he chose to look ahead to his reward. By faith, he kept the Passover, that picture of the coming Messiah. And by faith, he left Egypt, leading God's people 2 million strong. By faith, He persevered. You, Moses, just like you and me, he had his faults. That anger would rear its ugly head again many times, in fact, in the years ahead, as God's people would rebel against him and against the Lord. In fact, on one occasion, he was so upset that he caused the focus of the people to move from God to himself, as he said, "Must I bring water from the rock?" And he struck it, and the water gushed out as God promised. But it was Moses who was taking credit for it. He had pulled the eyes of the people from God onto him, and because of that, Moses was allowed to see the promised land, but not enter it. And yet, by God's grace, it was Moses and Elijah who stood on that Mount of Transfiguration in glory with Jesus centuries later, as an image of God's grace in his life and in yours and mine. And here's something interesting about Moses. When he did finally die, he was 120 years old, and we're told his eyes were not weak. May our eyes of faith never grow weak as we, by faith, look past that harsh reality of sin to God's grace and that eternal reward. Amen.